Go to 2 Peter. We're going to literally go from Genesis to Revelations today. And all through, this is in the Transfiguration. This is Peter's account that you're going to like, because this is on subject right now. Not only is this on subject, this is on what God's doing right now. Glory to God forever, where we are in the Spirit right now. For everything we're sharing, there's a whole lot that God's having us keep to ourselves, but we are just in there. Hallelujah. So 2 Peter, this is Peter's account of the Transfiguration when he was caught up. If you remember the two witnesses, they appeared in the glory of the Father. They were in the glory of the Father. The disciples were sleeping. They come up out of that sleep and they saw the glory, but they weren't in it. The two witnesses were in it, but they saw it. And Peter started talking, and all of a sudden the cloud moved over, and they entered into the glory. Say the glory. Now, Peter's revelation of this is very powerful. I just want to start this. Then we got to go to Genesis. And so verse 16, he's giving his account of what actually happened in that transfiguration, because it doesn't always show what all was revealed to them when they went into that glory. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power. And you can say second coming. Second coming of the Lord Jesus. They were in his ministry in the first century, and the Lord transports them and translates them all to the glory of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, the glory of our hour, what we will represent. And he said, we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses, say eyewitnesses, of his majesty. Now remember, when Peter began to speak, this is real important, that's when the cloud began to overshadow, and say they entered into the cloud and then the Father spoke. When the Father spoke, they were in the majestic glory. Because this is where God's bringing his church. He's bringing us into this majestic glory. And he said, we've not followed. He said, for we have received from God the Father honor and glory, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, verse 17, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, the majestic glory, when they were in it, they weren't looking at it, they were in it, and then God spoke out from that majestic glory, and he clothed them in that. And this, he says, we made known to you the power and coming, because we saw this. We were eyewitnesses. We have experienced, encountered a glory that's not even for our generation. It was a glory that's way to come. Those two witnesses were there. They were there, and they got clothed in this. And Peter's testimony in the third chapter was all about the second coming, the preparation of the second coming, which the church will prepare for pre-rapture, and then the two witnesses will pray. They'll finish that testimony before the Lord comes in his second coming glory. Amen. All about the majestic glory. Say majestic glory. What is the majestic glory? It's the glory of the King. Amen. He came as a suffering servant and a savior. He's returning as a majestic King with all the glory. And his church is going to fully represent this in this hour. I want to give you a little bit of history of this majestic glory. I'll take you back. What God's been doing with this majestic glory, the final outpouring, when the King, the revelation of Christ, the King, the earth will know it. Why? Because there's another King coming on the earth. There's going to be a King rise. He's going to call himself the God of this world system. He's going to call himself the King. We know him as the Antichrist. He's going to show up. We're not going to be here, but God's going to testify to the world. Before he takes us out, there's going to be some serious testimony. And this majestic glory, God has been preparing. Now, if you'll listen to me today, all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 14, we're going to take a little ride, a little bit of exhortation ride. Now, you remember that God gave promise to Abraham, in thee, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You remember that? And he gave that promise to Abraham, reiterated to Isaac, reiterated to Jacob. They carried the blessing of generational inheritance in their family lineage. They carried it. They were all mightily blessed of God, and they all, at the end of their life, were buried in this incredible mountain we call Mount Hebron. They were all buried there. That's the same mountain, by the way, 400 years after they were buried there, that the children of Israel came in from, you remember, God sent them in from Egypt, And he sent the 12 spies in, and they went down where? Into Mount Hebron. Remember that? And they went into Mount Hebron, and when they came down into Mount Hebron, that's when the giants were occupying that mountain. They didn't even care about that mountain before, but God had sown that blessing in that mountain. Those men, their wives, all of them were buried in the mountain. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their wives are all buried in there. And that mountain, 400 years later, that mountain, that anointing. You remember Elisha, the anointing stayed on his bones. You remember when the dead man hit his bones and all of a sudden he came alive. Well, that anointing was on these patriarchs. And that anointing got up into that mountain and it was producing harvest and fruit and grapes. And in fact, it took two men to carry out with a staff those grapes. That anointing was a direct result of God planting that blessing in that mountain. And the enemy will always come. He'll always come for what God has planted. Amen. He can never do anything of himself. He's always looking for what God's doing. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God is the author. God authors multiplication. God authors increase. God authors blessing. God is preparing a blessing for his people and a multiplication and increase in this last hour. He's been working for a long time. Listen, this majestic glory and the crown that's coming out of this majestic glory. Listen, this isn't something God just thought of. God been doing this for 6,000 years. He's about to crown us with a crown that's 6,000 years in the making. And we are culminating it all. Started in Genesis, ended in the book of Revelation. Praise God. So God didn't start this with Abraham. He did start it with Abraham, but God started speaking to Abraham. But because God was working this, he also, not only was he going to multiply Abraham's loins, he also wanted to bring kings out from Abraham. Now to do that, listen, whenever God's going to bring something out of you, he's got to put something in you. Even Abraham, he spoke to Abraham, but he had to put that in him. And I want you to go to Genesis 14. We'll see where that begins. Genesis 14. Now remember, God had already spoken to Abraham in chapter 12, chapter 13. See, Abraham was the father of all nations. Christ was going to come out of him. So God had to get everything into Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. God put the blessings in him, but he also had to get the blessing of this crown in him. To do that, there had to be somebody greater in Abraham's generation than himself. Can you imagine somebody greater than Abraham living in the same generation? Who would that be? Anybody want to guess? Melchizedek. So Genesis 14 is this meeting. Abraham just finishes the slaughter of the kings. And look at verse 18. He comes in and Abraham meets him. And he meets Abraham and said, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. That was actually, Salem was the city of Jerusalem. It wasn't called Jerusalem until David's day. But king of Salem brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. Now, he was a very unique being because this is the first time we hear of a king priest. I mean, he had him in there already. There's a lot of stuff about Melchizedek we can't teach into today, but he was a king, say a king, and a priest of the Most High. That is our lineage. That is our DNA. This is what we're after. So God has a king and a priest, and he comes upon the scene of Abraham, and he blessed him. He blessed him, and he said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. You are possessor of heaven and earth. I'm going to put something in you, boy. God sent me to put something in you. And blessed be the Most High God who delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And then Abraham tithes to him. Now go over real quick Hebrews 7. Now Hebrews is going to pick up this account here because this wasn't just a little blessing. God was seeding the loins of Abraham. Why? Because everything was going to come out of those loins. Look at your neighbor and say, you came out of Abraham. You might be one of them kings. Amen. All right, Hebrews 7. Are you ready? Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Say Most High God. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, Hebrews 7, 1, and blessed him. Of whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Being first by interpretation, king of righteousness, after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, was made like the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. I'd love to teach on that, because a lot of people think he didn't have a father or mother. He just poofed in the air. No. That's not what he was saying. He was talking about he didn't come out of the lineage of the priesthood of father. And in those days, you were born in the lineage of the priesthood. You had father and mother. You were automatically added as high priest because you came out of the lineage. He says he wasn't born out of that. He was called out of an oath by God. He had a father. God didn't poof him in. Born like the Son of God, even the Son of God had a father and mother. God was his father, but he didn't poof him in, and he just stands there. I mean, he doesn't do that. He had a father and mother, but not from a lineage of priests. God called him by an oath, and he was saying, Christ is coming out of the same oath. I'm not going to bring him out of the normal lineage. I'm going to bring him out of a whole nother line of priests. I'm going to bring him out of Judah, which no priest was spoken of, because I'm going to call him by an oath like I did Melchizedek. Amen. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was. Unto even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. But consider how great he was. Greater in authority. Say greater than Abraham. Greater than authority than Abraham. And he is the one that showed up. God had designed it. Had a man greater than Abraham in the earth, as you can believe it. And he had to get them together. Listen, God will put you with who you need to be with. Abraham's whole life was to birth one seed. In that one seed, God has been continually expanding his plan through that seed throughout the generations. Don't look at things in the natural. Look at things, by the way, of the spirit. Because one crown can birth 100,000 crowns. One crown can birth 1,000,000 crowns. Praise God. So he sees this, and he shows up with Abraham, and he says, Abraham, God sent me to bless you, boy. I got something for you. You are possessor of heaven and earth. And he released the blessing. What did he release on him? The blessing of a king priest. Say king priest. He goes, listen, Abraham, kings has to come out of your loins. Say kings. Kings have to come out of your loins, because I got some kings that are coming. I got some Davids. I got some Solomons. And I have another king called Christ. And then I have a latter day reign of kings that are coming. And it's going to keep increasing and keep multiplying all through the generations, because I'm going to do something, Abraham. 6,000 years later, we're going to testify to the whole world. Go to Genesis 17. So this is where the chapter where he starts changing the name and changing the identity. Listen, when God gets ready to do something, he's going to change and shift your identity. That's what he's doing right now. He's shifting the identity right now. You got to have an identity shift. With a mantle shift, you have to have an identity shift. God's not going to mantle you with an old identity. You have to shift. Before joint heirship, we move to the Father, and he takes the orphan out of us. He puts the Son in us. Then when he gets the Son in us, he starts shifting us. Now he's starting to move us, getting us ready for joint heirship. That's what he's doing with Abraham. He's shifting the identity. He's changing his name. Praise God. Verse 5, Genesis 17. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations I've made thee. Now watch this. No mention of kings whatsoever until Melchizedek blessed him in chapter 14. Look at this. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I'll make what? Nations out of thee. And what? Kings will come out of thee now. Dang. Kings. Where'd that come from? That was Melchizedek. Listen, you can't be a king if you don't sit under a kingly anointing. That's what God is doing right now. He's preparing his spiritual kingly anointing. He's imparting this stuff to us. Getting us ready to rule and reign and run with a white horse. As the kings come out of your loins. Love it. I'll establish my covenant. Now you drop down a little further. Look at verse 15. He's not only going to change Abraham's name, he's going to change everybody's name. Listen, when you're part of something, God is going to shift the whole identity. Stay in the corporate. Don't get distracted. Stay with the cloud. The cloud is moving. We're coming up out of the wilderness. I know it's been a long journey. It hadn't been 40 years, so don't be murmuring too much. Praise God. It might have taken us a while, but we had a long way to go. Praise God. Now we're coming up out. We're crossing over the Jordan. We're getting the name change. We're getting the shift of identity. We're getting ready. God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah. Sarah. And I will bless her. And I'll, she's the bride. I'll give her son, I'll give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I'll bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. And what? Kings shall come out of her. Genesis 17, kings, say kings, shall come out of her. Now go to chapter 35 real quick. Look at verse 10. He reiterates this to Jacob. Why? Because God deals in generations. He deals with generational inheritance. Spiritual sons and sons of spiritual sons. He's dealing with the generational inheritance. What the father gets, everybody gets. You get that? What the father gets, everybody gets. Pray for your leaders, because what God gives us, God gives you. What takes us all the time to plow, you get free, praise God. Genesis 35, 10, God said unto him, now, see, changing the name again. Thy name is Jacob. See, every time he starts talking about kings, isn't it amazing? He's changing the name. Because to operate and function as a king, we have to have a shift in identity. I have to go from LaRue to LaRubable. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel. See, that's where he changed his name. See where he changed his name? Every time kings are associated with the name change. Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am the God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And what? Kings. Say kings shall come up out of your loins. Kings. So God had seeded all of this. And the patriarchs, he had the kings, he had the priests, he had Levi in his loins. In fact, he said Levi tithed in Abraham. Before Levi was ever born, he tithed. When Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, he said Levi tithed. Levi wasn't even born. He was three generations away and his priesthood was 400 years away. Levi wasn't the priesthood until he come up out of Egypt. But God said he was tithing already. He was tithing to Melchizedek. Isn't that incredible? I mean, think about that. You have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then you have Levi out of Jacob, but that's just in their time. But Levi wasn't a priest till 400 years after, when Moses brought him out, established a priesthood, everybody received, they gave tithes to Levi. He said, but consider how great this priest was that Levi tithed to Melchizedek. He was yet in the loins of Abraham, his father, when he was given tithes to Melchizedek. Talking about the superior priesthood of Christ over the Levitical priesthood. So he has the kings working. Say the kings. Now, go to Genesis 22 now. Now God gonna get us up into this. Now remember, he put all this in this mountain. Remember? Remember when he put all, he birthed all this up in this mountain. They all were buried in this mountain. Remember when they came in, children of Israel, and Caleb saw that mountain? He goes, oh my. They never seen anything like that. They've been in Egypt all their life. Works, bondage. They've been up in the wilderness, and all of a sudden they walk up on that mountain. They see all that fruit. And the Caleb goes, that's my mountain. Listen, Mount Hebron don't belong to anybody without faith. Nobody's going to inherit Mount Hebron by works. That is a mountain that belongs to those that walk by faith. And when Caleb saw it, and they brought those grapes out. He had to carry that mountain in his heart for 45 years in the wilderness. We haven't been carrying this for 45 years, so nobody going to be complaining around here, praise God. But he come back in there, he said, listen, the strength that was in me 45 years ago is in me now. I might be 85, but that is my mountain, baby. That's what I want. Nobody else asked for it. They were 5 years in the promised land fighting, and nobody wanted it except Caleb. Josh says, you know, the sons of Anak are still up in there. You know what he said? 85 years old. He might even had a cane. And he goes, listen, they're bread for me this day. They are bread for me. That is my mountain. I've been carrying it for 45 years in my heart. Every day in the wilderness, I couldn't get it out of my heart. Listen, when God puts something in you, nobody's going to tear that out of you. When God put a crown in you, there's just nobody can steal. You're the only one that can lay that down. Glory to God forever. They went up in that mountain and Caleb drove them out. So So he drove them out. And he inherited that mountain. He was the first. He was the leader of the tribe of Judah. Caleb was. Drove them out to Ashdod and Gath. You remember a couple more hundred years later, there was a giant named what? Goliath. From where? Gath. That's where Caleb drove them out. He drove them to Gath and they start growing up there. And so the devil got him another champion of the original descendants of Anak, however you want to call it. He brings another champion out. These guys want to control. They're all about control. It's all about the controlling of the possession and the inheritance of the body of Christ. They want to sit on our inheritance. They want to occupy our inheritance. They want to say it's mine, and they want to intimidate. They want you to bow down to their system. But God has a crown that he's forging and working right now that's going to cause that whole system to bow. They're going to bow. The whole thing is coming down. Once again, I will shake all nations, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. And that day I will overthrow the rider and the chariot and those that ride on. I'm going to overthrow that system. You're living in the generation that's going to happen. You're living in the time that's happening. You're under the political covering that's going to happen in. We're in season. David comes. He's got the same anointing that Caleb had. Spoke to those giants the same way Caleb did. Listen, I'm going to take your sword, take your head off of your shoulders with your sword. You come at me with all this, I just come at you a sling and a stone. That's all I need for you. Why? Because the Spirit of God's on you, they will come down. Because there's faith on these guys. David took him down. Guess what? David inherits the mountain. God crowns him in Mount Hebron. Do you know that he ran around Mount Hebron? He ran around the wilderness under Saul. He never could get past 600 men. The distressed, the indebted. I mean, he got the best of the best. You understand? God, I mean, this is your mighty army there, David. Go for it. The distressed, those who are in debt, broken down. He goes, that's your mighty men right there. And they turned out pretty powerful. Chuck has a really powerful teaching on that. But when he came into Mount Hebron that day of his crowning, right after Ziklag, you remember that? God brought him into Mount Hebron, crowned him. Say, crowned him. When he crowned him that day, in 3 days, God multiplied him from 600 men to 348,000 men in 3 days. Say, 3 days. I mean, he was 13 years, could go nowhere in distress and death, but God was preparing a king, preparing a king. He'd already won the battle, but God was preparing him. And then he walks in and he gets crowned into that mountain, and the multiplication of that mountain releases. Now God's got another king in the earth. And then David makes war with the kings of Mammon, because that anointing's on him now. And he defeats all of Mammon of his day. Now get this point. He defeats him and he hands that crown freely to Solomon. That's what God's going to do. He's going to freely hand that crown to the Solomons of this generation, because he's preparing the victory for it. Amen. Now go to Genesis 22. We're walking through history right now. We're about to make some. Hallelujah. Man, the faith was on me this morning. I'm like, oh, God, keep this faith on me. Is this going to happen? I'm finding out how to defeat him. I cannot feed this level of mammon in mammon. I got to get above it, in front of it, outside of the jurisdiction of mammon. I'm not going to be begging mammon to give me something. I'm going to go out in front. Glory to God forever. Remember I told you, you're going to have to get out in front. If you want to shift something in your generation, you're going to have to get in front of your generation. You got to go get something that's not operating yet. John did it. Peter, James, and John did it. They grabbed something and testified of something that was 2,000 years in front of them. Okay, Genesis 22, you ready? Now God has all this in Abraham now. Now I'm going to start talking to you. Amen? Look at verse 16. He said, by myself, to myself. I'd love to do that illustration, but I don't have time today. I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and you have not withheld thy son, thine only son. Watch this. That in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thee. As the stars of the heaven and the sand upon the seashore. And look at that. Thy seed. Say thy seed. will possess the gates of his enemy. Listen to that very carefully. Thy seed will possess the gates of the enemy. God spoke to me the other day. He goes, that's not just Christ right there. That's you too. My people, my kings are going to possess the gates of mammon in this last hour. They're going to possess and own the gates. Go to Galatians. Glory to God forever. Galatians 3, verse 16. Now, what'd he say? Thy seed, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What'd he say in Genesis 22? Thy seed shall possess, say possess, the gates of his enemy. Surely in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore, and thy seed, say thy seed. Now you need to wake up right now because this is going to be talking about you now. Thy seed, say thy seed. We're getting name change. We're getting identity change. We're getting ready. Galatians 3 verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, were the promises installed, where the promises were infused, where the king priest government was infused. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed, which is Christ. So everything God was doing, even though they all participated in it, every one of the Old Testament saints and kings all participated in that blessing, God was really, really doing it all for seed, Christ. Say Christ. He was speaking of Christ, the order of a king that would never, ever, a priesthood that would abide forever, a king that would abide forever. So when Melchizedek blessed Abraham, guess what he was blessing? I'm blessing your seed, Abraham. You got kings coming out of your loins, but you have a king coming out of your loins, and there's going to be nobody like him. You got priests coming out of your loins, and you got a priest coming out of your loins, and there's nobody like him, because I'm speaking to one seed down through the history of your generations, 42 total. Yeah, 42 generations down, there is a seed in you, and that's the one I'm talking to. And God spoke directly to it. He sent Melchizedek to bless. He says, possessor of heaven and earth, your seed, Abraham, is going to possess the gates of his enemy. He's going to possess the gates of hell, death and hell. We got all that. Amen. But he's going to possess all the gates before it's done. Say, thy seed's going to possess. Because I can swear by no greater. I swear to my own seed in your loins, I'll do it. Father swore to his own son through Abraham's seed. He swore to Christ in Abraham's loins. Because I can swear by no greater, I, Father, swear to my son in your loins, Abraham, I'm going to do this. Thy seed, watch this, going to possess. Say possess. Stay with me. Possess. Possess the gates of his enemy. And in multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Do I sound like somebody that's in unbelief right now? I'm telling you, God is going to crown this house. There is a forerunner crown being forged in this house that's going to shift and change the nations. Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ, say if you be Christ, say that's me, then you are Abraham's seed. And you are heirs, what? To that promise. So that means that Melchizedek coming here with a priesthood greater and authority greater than Abraham. He goes, I'm going to speak to your loins, Abraham. There is a seed in your loins, but then there is a seed in the seed. If thy Christ be in you, which is, let's say, Christ 2,000 years ago, but there's also another seed. Because if Christ be in you, then you're Abraham's seed. 2,000 years later, down into our generation, 2018, there's another seed. He goes, this means that Melchizedek was speaking through Abraham into Christ, into us. Because if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to everything God brought through Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Come down through the law and say, I am an inheritor of the blessing of Abraham. Amen. That means Father's house, Kings shall come out of your loins. Priests shall come out of your loins. Prophets shall come out of your loins. Kings. And not an earthly king. This is a spiritual king that's going to do war a different way. That's going to do it from above and not beneath. We are not beggars in the earth. We are kings of the Most High God. We're carrying 6,000 years of spiritual lineage. And God's about to cause us to inherit the whole shebang. I mean the whole thing. That's some serious history. Isaiah 65. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. A seed out of Judah. An inheritor. Say an inheritor. Of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it. And what? My servant shall dwell there. Say they will dwell. What mountain? Out of Judah. What mountain is in Judah? Mount Hebron. Say Mount Hebron. The mountain of Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. Caleb. David. The mountain where all of this blessing was sown into. Christ inherits it in the spirit. Isaiah 9, you're about to understand what is glory, the majestic glory. Because these guys were looking into our day. When they got caught up in the transfiguration, they started seeing the glory of our hour. Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace. This is the seed, by the way. There shall be no end. Upon the what? Upon what throne? Upon his kingdom to order, establish in judgment and judgment forever. Upon the throne of David. He inherits. He never sat on the throne of David. In his earthly ministry, he inherited it. And Daniel saw it when he ascended before the Ancient of Days. He said, I saw him ascend before the Ancient of Days, and there was given him a kingdom and a government and a throne. And that's when the Father took the throne of David up out of the earth and brought it up in, because he called an end to that priesthood that day. And he brought that throne into the heavens, and that's where he inherited Mount Hebron. He inherited the throne of David, and that's where he sits at the right hand of the Father. I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. This day thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me now the nations for thine inheritance, because you are my solitary heir of all that I've been building. You are the seed for which all the promises were made. You are the inheritor now. All that I have, son, I give to you now. All that I've ever been doing, I give to you. You are now my appointed heir. He sits as the firstborn. So he inherits all of that for us. Because if you be Christ, you're Abraham. So you have to think like a joint heir. You're an heir, a joint heir, according to all these promises. God has given us authority to sit there. And he's going to crown us there in this last hour. Go to Revelations 3. You're the seed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the seed. I'm an heir of all this. You have to understand what you're an heir to. Amen? Now, you remember in Isaiah 22 when God fired the Shebna. He gave the key of David to Eliakim. He said, the key of the house. Say what? The house. The house. The house of David. The key to the what? The house of David. I'm going to lay upon your shoulders. The government be upon your shoulders. The increase of this government, there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David, I'm going to establish you as the seed. But I'm also going to establish all your descendants. I'm going to fulfill my word to Abraham. I am going to establish you as the seed. And if you be Christ, look at your neighbor and say, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. You're an heir of this promise. What promise? Thy seed will possess the gates of his enemy. God said, my people, the seed of this generation is going to possess the gates of the enemy in this hour. Christ has already possessed them. We're going to possess them. Revelation 3:7, an angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, the messenger, write to the messengers. These things saith he that's holy, he that is true, he that has what? The key to the house of David. He openeth this house and no man's going to shut it. He shuts this house and no man's going to open it. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it. You've had little strength, but the strength that you've had, you have used to keep my words instead of operating human sufficiency. You took the strength that I gave you and you kept it in faith. You kept my words, and I'm going to set before you an open door to come and sit. To come and sit with me at thy right hand. I'm going to set before you an open door, and you're going to sit down with me in this glory, in this government, in this increase, all of it, and you're going to receive the crown that I received from the Father. I'm going to crown this generation. I'm going to crown this church. I'm going to take a priest and I'm going to put him on a king's throne. I'm going to crown him right there. That's why he said, let no man take your crown. No other church promised a crown while in the earth except this one. Let no man take your crown. A church, a priesthood being crowned. Christ, Revelation 5, standing as the Lamb, the priest, having received the seven eyes and the seven horns, omnipresent omniscience, executing omnipotent dominion in the earth. This is our inheritance. We are the seed. And when we crown, we're going to possess the gates of this generation. There's a season. If you see that picture out there, the running of the white horse, that horse, God is going to set us on there, and a crown. A crown was given to the rider. And the battle bow in his hand, and he went riding victorious, conquering to conquer. No other generation, we're going to go and possess the gates. We're going to possess the financial gates. We're going to possess the healing gates. We're going to possess all the gates. The gates of restoration. We're going to sit in the gates with full authority in this hour. God has been working this crown for 6,000 years. 6,000 years. So they go back now. Let's go back. Now you have Peter, James, and John. They don't have a clue what's going on. They get caught up in the Mount of Transfiguration. They get translated. Say translated. Transported into the future. Peter, James, and John enter into this glory of the Father. Says we were in the majestic glory of the Father. We were in this when we heard his voice. This is my son. Hear him. This is the heir. This is the one you're going to receive all this from. They're looking at the crown of our generation. They're wearing the majestic glory of our generation. The crown of the last day king, of which the two witnesses will rise and they will give their testimony after the church is lifted out. They're all there. The church is there. The two witnesses are there. We're there. Say, we're there. Glory to God. God is preparing this majestic glory for us. And Jesus culminates it in John 17. He says, now I will, final prayer, I will that you be with me where I am in my Father, that you may behold my glory that I have with him. I will you be with me in the love of the Father where you're at. Moving you from orphan to sons, but I also, say I also. It's always on the right side over here. Sorry, guys, but over on the right side. I will you be with me. Say with me. Where I am in my Father's glory. In the majestic glory. In my coming glory. In that which is to come. In the Omega jurisdiction. That you be with me. Where I am in the Father that is to come. Well, I'm not there yet. It doesn't matter where we are. we have the capacity to go and get something that's in front of us. It doesn't matter how far it's in front of us. We have the capacity to go and be and sit with him where he is. All we got to do is identify it, majestic glory. Identify it, the crown. Identify it, you set before me an open door. Identify, I can sit with you in this throne. Identify that I am joint heir with you in this throne. Identify, that is my crown. Identify, I will possess the gates of the enemy through Christ in this last hour. There is a glory that he's wearing. He has already been crowned. He that hath the seven spirits of God. He's already wearing it. He's already sitting in the Father. I just got to identify where he is and move there. By faith, move there every day, moving in, moving in, moving in, moving in every day, moving to where you are. It doesn't matter where I am, it's where he is. I am not living where I am living where he is. If I live where I am, I'm going to get the same results. I'm not crowned here, but I can be crowned there. I got to get out from where I am and get into where he is. I'm going to get into some promises. I'm going to jump in to where he is and the Father that is to come. Because the Father is he that is, the Father he that was, but it's the Father that is to come. And you shall see there are some standing among you that will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his kingdom. He said there are some among you that will see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his Father, the majestic glory. If they could see it, I can see it. But more importantly, I can enter in and sit down in it. Clothe me, Father, and the majestic glory till I come out with the same crown. Clothe me in the seven spirits of God. Clothe me in the seven eyes of the Lord and the seven horns of authority. Clothe me, Father, till I come out with something here I can take back there. Because I don't have it over here. It's okay if you don't have it here. Quit acting like you do. The worst thing ever is act like we got everything when we don't. If I don't have it, I know where it is. I'm going to get it now because my faith can take me out. My faith can take me to where he is because he didn't put a stipulation on where he is. He said, I will you be with me where I am in my Father that is to come in the majestic glory of the Father where my crown is. Come and sit with me. He's over here like this. I set before you an open door. I set before you an open door. Right in here where all the prayers happen. Right in here. I set before you an open door. I set before you an open door. Come. 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 I'm over here. It doesn't matter. I've given you something called faith. I've given you a compass called my word. It'll allow you to move out from where you are. It'll allow you to move out of your circumstance. It'll allow you to move out of the unbelief that's forging this generation right now. It'll allow you to get out into where I am, where real stuff happens. I've got a crown in here. I got a crown in that room. If you'll get in there and sit with me, you're going to come out with a crown that this generation has never seen. And when you bring back that crown, you will possess the gates of your enemy. You'll possess it. Because that crown he has no defense for because it's coming out of a future realm. He has no defense for. We have the authority, the power to move there and get it. God is setting the compass. He's setting the compass. 6,000 years he's been planning for this crowning of this priesthood. Zechariah 6 prophesied it. Take Joshua the high priest. Set him on the king's throne. Take the wealth of Babylon. Does anybody have ears to hear? We're going to forge a crown out of Iraq. We're going to take the silver gold. We're going to forge a crown. We're going to set it on my priests. And I'm going to crown my priesthood. And the kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. And a crown will be given to the riders of the white horse in this last hour. And they will run victorious. Our church We're not waiting for the crown. God's waiting for us to go wear it. He said, I need somebody to wear that crown in your generation. I need somebody to go grab it and come down back here and show and demonstrate its authority in the earth. And once that's demonstrated, I can give it to all. Somebody needs to go in that room and get that crown. Father, thank you for this word. I'm so ready to be crowned. Where you are, Lord, in the majestic glory. What do you think he gave us the transfiguration for? If they could go up into a glory that didn't belong to them, how much more you can go up into a glory that does belong to you? This is our generation. The majestic glory. The crowning of the church. This is who we are. And you're going to see its authority manifest. We have a very real call in this. Thank you, Father. Seal this, Father. Prepare this. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, I am in season. Put your hands up to God and say, Father, I am in faith. We are in faith. We are in season. And we are fixed. Glory to God. Let's give him glory.